Will you please remain standing for our New Testament reading?
For our New Testament reading, please turn in your hymnals to page numeral 12, and let us read out loud together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's do the Apostles' Creed too, can we?
We certainly can. Okay, let us all read out loud together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. And once again, before we open our copies of the Scripture to study the Word of God together, will you please bow your heads with me as we go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, again, how grateful we are to you for rescuing us from the plight of our sin. And we remember that there was a time that we were apart from you, apart from the grace of God, apart from the life that is in Christ, that we once wandered in this world as people dead in our trespasses and sins. But when we were dead, that you came and you made us alive. You opened our eyes, which were blinded by sin, and our ears, which were deafened by sin, and our hearts, which were hardened by sin, that we might see and hear and understand what the Holy Ghost had to say to us regarding our sin in the light of your holiness. And so we ask your help once again, Lord, that you would continue that work which you had begun in us, that you would continue the sanctifying influence by the power of your Holy Ghost as he works and moves in and through your holy word in our hearts, that you would produce in us a greater awareness and understanding of who Jesus is and what he accomplished for us and what great benefits he secured for us and what awaits us in heaven. We ask in his name. Amen. This morning, I would ask you to turn with me to Mark chapter 14. And for time's sake, let's skip down, if you would, with me to verse 12. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared there. Make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I'll no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I'll strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I'll go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Yet Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I'll not deny you." And they all said likewise. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." And he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, what you will." And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12 of the great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all forsook him and fled. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." On the night that he was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is a cup of the new covenant in my blood which is shed for the remission of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And then, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the garden, to the Mount of Olives. The Church of Jesus Christ is a singing church. It sings of the almighty power of God. We sing the almighty power of God, who bade the mountains rise, who spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. And we read here that on this night that Jesus was betrayed, when the supper was ended, they sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. What was this occasion? It was the Passover. And since it was the last Passover that Jesus would enjoy, that he would celebrate with his disciples, it came to be referred to as the Last Supper, commemorated ever after for us, until he comes again. He told us to keep repeating this over and over again. That as often as you do this, you remember me. And in this eve preceding his anguish on the cross, when his soul would be tormented for the sin of the world, when he would bear in his body the wrath of God for our sins, when I'm sure in his humanity he would love to have just buried his head in his arms in anguish, cowered in the fetal position in the corner, he denied those fleshly impulses. He encouraged and bolstered his heart, and he sang a hymn
with his disciples.
And what was that hymn? What hymn could possibly have been suited? What hymn could possibly have fitted this occasion? It was the hymn that in Jewish tradition had been sung for hundreds and thousands of years. It was the Hallel, the praise to God, consisting of Psalms 113 through 118. They would sing these hymns throughout the feast, throughout the celebration, in a procession, a progression that spoke of the work of Almighty God in redeeming a fallen race. In the beginning, they would sing Psalm 113 and 114, and as the meal progressed, they would sing Psalms 115 and 116 and 117 and 118. And each time, before each time, and after, they would drink a cup of wine. Not once or twice or thrice, 7 times during that meal, they would lift their cups. And what were they doing? They were celebrating the glory of God. They toasted the almighty power of God. They would drink and taste first the bitterness to remind them of the bitterness, the anguish of sin, which would be everlasting. Save God, save them. 7 times they would drink of the cup. And the last cup they would drink? This is the cup that Paul tells us about in 1 Corinthians. It is the cup of blessing. This cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communicated to us are the benefits that Christ secured. Think about it, dear ones. We were destined by our sin to an eternity in hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, saved us from our sins. And with this last cup that Jesus would drink on earth, he drank it with his disciples, and he blessed them in blessing it. And in blessing them in the cup, he blessed all those who would come after them, to all who would eat of this bread and drink of this cup. He gives them the blessing of everlasting life. Hallelujah. Jesus came to earth bearing true witness of the eternal truth of the Father, and in bearing true witness, he testified to his disciples and all the world that he, Jesus, the Christ, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, was the object of those hymns. 113, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and in truth, Jesus is the object of the entire Psalter. And in this heavy hour, this hour of his agony, he fortified his own heart, summoning strength to meet what was approaching, what he knew to be the most trying moment in his earthly life, by singing this hymn. Knowing that in his singing of this hymn with his disciples, that they would need to draw on the strength of it as well. Because their time of trial and testing was coming as well. We all face trying. We all face testing. We all face, as it were, our moment, our hour in this life, this world, when our faith will be most sorely tested. And this is how we fortify ourselves. We call to mind the blessing of God in Christ. And he led his disciples in this final hymn, and they sang it. And then they went out to the mount where our Savior began a long and tortured night of awaiting his betrayer. And so, ever after, wherever the followers of Jesus are gathered together, we remember him by celebrating this, the Last Supper. And in this very simple exercise of eating and drinking, it calls to our minds the almighty power of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the redemption of God, all in Christ. For the Word of God was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so this morning, as we celebrate the death of Jesus, his substitutionary atoning payment for our sins, and this most glorious day of all days, the resurrection day, out of our honor for him who died for us and rose again, let's scan these psalms. Psalm 113. This is the psalm of deliverance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Here begins the Hallel. Hallelujah. That is the Hebrew term that begins this psalm. Hallelujah. Hallel, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap that they may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. This psalm begins with praise. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Three times. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. As it is fitting, as servants of the Lord, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we're no longer slaves. He is our deliverer. He is our redeemer. He led us out of captivity. How fitting is praise to such a one? And if we died with him, so too we will also be raised with him to everlasting life. And there we will reign with him forever and ever, as he says, seated with him. As he is seated with the princes of his people, we will take our places there. And we will reign with him over the nations forever. And they would lift their cups and they toasted their deliverance from their enemies and their future exaltation in Christ. And then Psalm 14 that sings of the Christ who is God, who is mighty to save. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange land, remember they were sent out of the promised land. Abraham was already there, but then they had to forfeit that land for a time. Judah became his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. The little hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? O mountains, that you skipped like rams? O little hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. This psalm emphasizes the power of God by which Israel was delivered. Israel, the household of Jacob, the elect of God, for whom did Christ die? For all of the sins of all the world, in which case all men would be saved? No, wasn't that. For some of the sins of all men, in which case no one would be saved. For the least sin uncovered by the blood of Christ damns a man to hell. No, but he died for all of the sins of some, for Israel, for the house of Jacob, for us, for we who are called children of Abraham through faith. These were the two hymns that were sung at the beginning of the Passover as they drank the first two cups of wine, the wine of the bitterness of their slavery to Egyptian bondage. But It's also the wine that maketh the heart glad. In the beginning, oh, it's bitter. But then it yields to gladness in the heart. The bitterness of sin gives way to the transforming, amazing, powerful, saving work of Christ as he leads us, as it says here, into living waters. He turned the flint into a fountain of waters. And they lifted up their cups and they drank to the God who delivered them and the God who is mighty to deliver. And the cup they drank was a powerful cup. And yet we live in the midst of the day when the church we see all around us is so emptied of its power. But think of the symbolism of this, dear ones. They drink an emasculated cup, a cup of juice. And their churches are emptied of power in the same way the cup they drink at the communion celebration is emptied of its power. Their church has no power because they've emasculated the Savior who is mighty to save, who delivers from our enemies, who will cast down his enemies. And we will sit with him and reign as princes forever and ever. And in 1:15, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say so? Where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold. Yeah, they can see them because they're only the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak, and eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, noses that cannot smell, hands that cannot handle, feet that cannot walk. They mutter nothing with a throat. And so is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. We are the house of Israel. He blesses us. In Christ, he will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. And they lifted their cups and they toasted. They toasted this God who is powerful to save. They lifted their cups in remembrance of the God who, when their backs were up against the waters, up against the sea, he parted those seas. Even the seas parted his command. Even the flint gives up its water at his command. And all of the Gentiles who observed this, who surrounded Israel, this little group of people who were wandering without any physical defense. They feared these people because they saw these remarkable events taking place. But the people said, "Don't fear us." This psalm tells us, don't fear us. Remember, O Israel, remember, people of God. God does it. He works redemption for us. We trust in the Lord. When the Israelites were up against the shore with no place to go, no place to turn, and they saw the Egyptians mount up, repenting of having allowed Israel to go, and coming after them. And they thought for sure they were doomed. That they would be annihilated by these Egyptians. They said to Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in this wilderness. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses, as a type of Christ, said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. You'll clamp your hand over your mouth as you see the deliverance of God for his elect people. And so God destroyed them. God destroyed the Egyptians and their army in the sea. And as a consequence, Israel became the most feared nation in that whole land. But here, it says here, fear the Lord, all you people of the Lord. Don't fear men. Fear the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The heathen said, where is your God? They said, he is in heaven, and he does whatsoever he pleases. The heathen of this world, they cling to their false gods. They cling to their false notions. But the God of Israel will eventually crush both before their face and ours. And they drank of the cup of the covenant. And then in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He has heard my voice and my supplications because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallel. Praise the Lord. And they drank the cup. They drank the toast to the God, the Savior of Israel, as they confirmed their faith. We can say, we can speak, we can sing of just the smallest portion and fraction which is true about Almighty God. But that much that we can say, we ought to say in fulfillment of our vow. What vow? The vow we take every Sunday morning when we partake of the Lord's Supper, the body and the blood of Christ. We are reconfirming our faith in him, our trust in him, our baptismal promise that we will walk in his ways, forsaking the world. We say again all those things. And as part of this celebration, they reconfirm their oath, their most solemn vow to the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, they would sing of Almighty God's power. And as we do that, we take part with the worship that's even now happening in heaven. We take our places with saints, glorified saints and angels. When is Atheist Day? I don't ever hear the atheists saying, Happy Atheist Day. What do they have to worship? What do they have to celebrate? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What do they celebrate? That they're fools. We sing the almighty power of God. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And then Psalm 17. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Here, as we are nearing the conclusion of the Hallel, as we are nearing the end of the supper, the Passover feast, they sing this small two-verse psalm that reminds us, as we are nearing the conclusion of the supper, we see this picture of the consummation of all things, where saved Jews and saved Gentiles will be gathered all together as one. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, male nor female, slave nor free. And we will all worship God together as one. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us all. All nations are pictured here as praising God together. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. They drank together. And in viewing this day in their mind's eye, they lifted their cup and they toasted this coming day when there would no longer be factions that divide. There would no longer be those things that drive wedges between man and man. Nothing that separates brothers. And then in Psalm 18, the psalm that is most peculiarly and particularly suited for the Messiah, the Passover Lamb. Here, Jesus made sure his disciples and that all who followed after him would understand his purpose in coming to earth, his true nature as God the Son. And this is the psalm that they sang. And then they went out to the Mount of Olives. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. What mercy could we have unless Christ submitted himself, subjected himself to the will of the Father and the awful wrath of God? There would be no mercy for us. There would be no mercy. And Jesus knew it. It's all on my shoulders. The weight of the world is on my shoulders. And I will remind myself and tell these disciples, I am the way that mercy comes to you. This psalm, this Passover psalm, is unmistakably Christ's psalm. Christ, our Passover, we see sacrificed for us here. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. What? Wait a minute. The loving Lord is already in the midst of his agony as he thinks about suffering the almighty wrath of God for his people, is also in the midst of this, keeping in sight the destruction of his enemies and all those who reject him. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Again and again in this Passover psalm, Jesus says, I'm going to destroy my enemies. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Even in the midst of his suffering, Jesus kept his view, his vision, his eyes on God. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you. For you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. He was bound with cords to the altar, and not only bound, but nailed. And our Lord quoted this verse before the Passover, and then they sung this hymn. Calvary was no surprise to him. He said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is to be betrayed, to be sacrificed. But in becoming the head, the chief cornerstone, Jesus had to rise from the dead, to be exalted in heaven. And we remember that today, Jesus did not remain in the grave. The grave could not hold him. And that's what we celebrate today. We rejoice in that. That sin, death, had no power over him. Rather, he had power over it. And in exhibiting, in demonstrating his power over sin and death, he rose again from the dead. And then he says, and in the name of the Lord, I will destroy all those who rejected who? The chief cornerstone. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. And they drank the cup of blessing, the seventh cup. 7 times they filled their cup. 7 times they toasted the Lord of glory. Who is the Lord of glory? The Lord, mighty in power. And so it's no wonder, though, is it to us, that Jesus came back once and found his disciples sleeping, and twice and found his disciples sleeping, and 3 times and found his disciples sleeping. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But keep in mind, dear ones, these disciples with Jesus did not participate in debauchery. They celebrated the redemption, the almighty power of God, and the God who does the redeeming, and the fact that they are numbered with the redeemed for all of eternity. Jesus taught them all these things in an evening's celebration. In an evening, he reminded them of all these things in an evening of celebration. They came to know him who is the object of these psalms that they had sung every night. Once a year for their whole childhoods. And though for a moment they abandoned him, they succumbed to fear. Yet when the Holy Spirit took these lessons of the Passover night and brought them to life in their hearts, these lessons, the lessons of the Hallel, the lesson of these psalms, so empowered them that this handful of men turned the world upside down. With what? With the message. The message that the angels told his disciples when they ran to the grave on Easter Sunday morning. He is not here. He is risen. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, how grateful we are to you that Jesus Christ rose victorious over the grave, that he conquered sin and death, that he became for us our sin bearer, that we might be called sons of God. We thank you for rescuing us. We thank you, Lord, that we are now your people, the sheep of your pasture, and that we can look to you to be the shepherd of our souls. And we pray, Lord, keep our souls safe until you bring us safely home to heaven with you, where we will reign as princes with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.